This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, halflings! It's me, Jasper William Cartwright, and I am joined today by...
Jeremy Cobb, but David Knight calls me Cabba 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 Chameleon.
Cabba 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 Chameleon. I thought I was wondering whether for a second he was going for like a version of Pac-Man, like a Cabba 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 Cabba
yeah.
Cabba. Like that's what I was wondering if it was that, but no, okay, yeah.
Cabba, I think cabba, we've cabba, had cabba, Cobble cabba. Cobble as well earlier on. I think somebody
we have
hit
had
me
cobble,
with,
cobble.
Yeah.
I think that might have actually been around Christmas time last year that we had Cobble Cobble.
I'm looking right now. I think so. Oh, Cobb Goblin. That was a good one.
Cobb Goblin. Yeah, because I remember
really
laughing at that
one
because my... Yeah, we don't need to rehash that. Anyway. nicknames aside.
Yeah, Daniel Rice hit me with it. Anyway, please, sorry, go ahead.
Nice. No, I was going to introduce our special guest for this week. That's right. There is someone else here. I would like to introduce... producer, streamer, consultant, freelance editor, and localization specialist, a true jack of all trades, Gloss and Gadgets.
Jack of all trades, but master of fuck all, I must admit. Hello,
is.
Halflings.
Yes. You even said hello, halflings. Oh,
yes.
I love it.
I think you might be the first guest to have ever acknowledged the halfling at home.
That's true.
Wow.
That's
what a way to endear yourself to the audience.
That's so rude of them.
Yeah. We've had guests talk about our stadium of fans that we always live stream every single one of our recordings to and how crazy they're going. Yeah, a lot of people with foam fingers right now. But we've never actually had someone fully say hello, halflings.
Yeah, like come out, grab the mic off me and be like, hello, halfling. Love that. Big fan of that energy.
For those of you who couldn't see, Gloss actually stormed into Jasper's room, shoved him onto the ground, grabbed his microphone,
frankly,
and said
frankly, quite alarming that you had my address. But,
and then ran back to your
afterwards.
Own house. I don't know how you did that, but it was very
unbelievable
impressive.
Speed, really. But impressive stuff. But, I mean, you are in the same country as me because we have another Brit. We're getting them in right now.
I may have to talk like this for the rest of the episode. Very, very upper class.
Please do. Please do.
Welcome, Gloss.
I love the way that every time you do like the hoity-toity RP accent, I think it gets a little bit further up your nose, like every time. You know what
my
I mean?
My entire larynx is in my nasal cavity.
It just retreats. Your larynx just retreats.
I'm so resonant right now. There's an echo in my room from how nasal I'm speaking right now. Anyway, I'm done. Please, let's continue.
Oh my god!
This is the wrong dungeon and the wrong dragon.
Full prince vibe? Woof!
This makes them even more black!
Cake glitches and pitches.
And lands in the cusp of a teaspoon.
Oh, no.
On a nat 20.
No!
You think this is just a game?
That's disgusting and I love it.
Yeah. We're about to get into something real big now.
Good. I'm glad that you're done. So, Gloss, welcome to Three Black Halflings. Very, very excited to have you on. As we found out from the intro, you are you're a streamer, and you've done I'd say you've done a fair bit around the TTRPG space. And so, why don't we start from the beginning and find out a little bit about how you got started in TTRPGs. What was the origin story for Gloss getting into this weird and wonderful world that we're all occupying?
That we're all obsessed with.
Yeah, like unhealthily obsessed with.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so we'll go back in time.
Well, good heavens.
It's Doctor Who now. He's Doctor Who.
Gloss and Gadgets is about 6 years old. Gloss and Gadgets has seen the D&D cartoon. And, you know, D&D is everywhere. D&D is in all pop media culture. But Gloss doesn't know anybody that plays D&D. Gloss and Gadgets doesn't even know how to play D&D. And Little Gloss gets hold of this book. I'm just seeing if I have the book there. I do have the book there. From her stepfather. And it's RuneQuest, whoa, Land of Ninja. Original edition from the 80s.
Look at that.
Look at that artwork on the front. That is a ninja. Well, I mean, that's someone's idea of a ninja on the front there.
Yes, this book is very dated, I must admit.
Very dramatic.
This book is very, very dated. But yeah, RuneQuest, Land of Ninja, Games Workshop from the 80s. And I read it. And at the time, I'm like obsessed with everything Japan. You know, anime, learning the language, you know, the country is awesome. This is kind of before Toonami. My stepfather was an animator. So we consumed all things animation. And obviously, you know, we had manga in our house and comic books. And they weren't for reading. They were references. But they got read. And yes, I had this book and I'm reading it and I just love all the lore. But then I'm looking at, the text that's in there that's not fluff. And it says stuff like, use your key points in 2D84 and add 7 and then turn around the corner and do a little dance, stick your left leg in. And I have no idea what this means. And
classic D&D, so, very different.
Yeah, very, very different. So, you know, that gets put aside and, you know, I went to an arts academy for my secondary school and, you know, I was too cool to hang with the nerds. Please read as too dark.
too I dark to
hang
feeling.
Around. Yes, too dark to hang around with the nerds. Mm-hmm. But too light to really hang out with all the cool dancer, actor, black crowd as well. So I just was in this group of misfits. Jump forward to Leonie being 26 years old. Leonie is working for 505 Games. And on Thursdays is board game night. And I turned up a couple of times. We played Munchkin. We played card games. You know, that kind of stuff. And one of the people there got obsessed with this show called Critical Role. Uh-huh. I don't know if you've heard about it.
I think we had someone on the show
is this really gonna happen? Are we doing the whole episode like this, Jeremy?
No, it's happening, baby.
If you think I won't mute you, you're wrong. Like, you're very wrong.
There will just be weird gaps in the rest of the episode.
Fine. Fine. But yes, Critical Role, might have heard of that tiny, tiny, tiny show.
Yes, yes. At the time, I hadn't heard of it, but, you know, I was being told stories about how they started up Thursday's board game night and they were playing D&D through the starter kit. And I'm sitting there and they're telling me about how the druid sent in their raven familiar and it got squished by the dragon in the cave and, like, all the shenanigans. And I just said really quietly, I don't even think anyone heard me, is I really want to play D&D. And someone heard me and it was the DM. And so he rolled up to my desk and was like, I hear you want to play D&D. I was like, who told you my secrets?
You did.
And I was made to buy the player's handbook and a set of dice. And then a week later, I played my very first episode, first session of Dungeons and Dragons. And yeah, wow. it was addictive.
It does. I don't think you can quite predict what happens when you first play. I think if you're like nerdy inclined, I think that first session, you just, I think something's changing within me, and I'm...
Yeah.
I don't think the first taste
is for free, but after that, you're always trying to recapture that same feeling you got from the first time you played.
Capture? You added, like, three more
capture.
Syllables.
Capture. I am so proper.
Oh, my God.
I'm inventing my own version of English.
Oh, my God, please. I hate you. I actively dislike you, Jeremy.
Rule Britannia.
Oh, man. Wow. So I think after this, then how does Gloss and Gadgets then transition into, I want to do this as like a proper thing. I want to put myself and the what I do out there into the world and stream and all of that kind of thing.
By accident.
Oh yeah, okay. So like the rest of us. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
No one plans to do this.
No one. Not nearly to the level that you end up doing it, right?
No,
like you always,
no,
oh, this will be a fun thing. I'll do this like once or twice.
Yeah. Call me out. Completely by accident.
I'm calling myself and Jeremy out.
Yes,
in that,
we've
exactly.
all been called.
Yeah. I mean, when I discovered, you know, D&D Twitter, because it was separate from TTRPG Twitter back then anyway. Mm. I was looking around and I couldn't see anybody that, you know, was a person of colour anywhere doing any of the streamed things. And, you know, streaming wasn't that, it was big, but it wasn't to the heights it is today. And then I obviously discovered Christina Ariel and I was like, and I just latched on like a parasitic worm or something, and I was like, oh yes, I found one. And I just kind of wanted to do it because I thought if you know, baby Gloss and Gadgets or someone that looked just like them, I might have done it sooner than waiting until I was 26. So I just kind of wanted to be that person just in case someone saw,
yeah,
hey, I can do that too. And that's kind of like how I fell into it. It wasn't supposed to be like a job or something that I got paid for. I just ended up, you know, taking all the responsibility of running a channel, doing the overlay, doing the editing, uploading, running the community, running the show, DMing the show, playing the show.
You do all of those at once as well. That's what's so impressive.
Like, yeah. Never again. I learned my lesson. I'm never doing it again. I did it once. And now I see all the, you know, the younger people coming up behind me and I'm like, ah, yes, I too was young and energetic.
You will learn.
Yes, wait until the burnout hits.
I think that's like a really, that is an interesting thing that I would love to dig in a little bit further, because I think that, you know, we've chatted about representation a bunch on this show, but like it's so true. I think D&D is not something that I ever viewed as accessible, I don't think, for like, because I think that it was like practically ingrained on my psyche that like whenever I thought of Dungeons and Dragons, I think most people, even today, when they think of Dungeons and Dragons, you probably maybe now get like a split image with Critical Role, but generally you picture like four nerdy teenagers who are like white cis dudes in the basement, you know, pizza to one side, like that is just what you see. And I
scene
like,
from E.T. basically.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And so I think it's, I do think it's an interesting, it will be fascinating to see how the space does diversify. And I actually would love to see, like, from your point of view, having been doing this for a while, like, how have you seen the space diversify? Because we are getting more representation now, and I think people are stepping into the space a little bit more and with more frequency, which is fantastic. And I'm wondering whether, you've seen it have an effect? If that makes
it
sense.
It has had an effect, a huge effect. Because, go back. Sorry, I'm just doing quick math of how old I am. And then when I actually came to 26, I'm 33 now. You know, 6-7 years ago, there wasn't anybody that was tan. Tan or darker.
Yeah, melanin was not in great supply.
No, it was not.
Yeah.
And now, you know, you can easily throw a rock. You're at least two recommendations away or two retweets away from someone who is melanated. And I love that for us. Because And there's so much talent, and the stories are changing, and how people are playing is changing. Mm. And, you know, all the flavors and all the seasoning is arriving.
Yes.
And it's just, I just know in the future, you know, if there is ever another Gloss and Gadgets, which there is, her name is Isla Lily. She is my niece. She is my complete clone. She could be my child. She is that much. She looks like me that much. My sister was like, how did I give birth to my sister? I was like, I know. But, you know, she's going to grow up to be a little fairy princess nerd just like me. And I know that, you know, when she's ready to discover D&D, the space will be ready for her, and she won't have to, you know, have all the struggle that everyone's had to, you know, claim their space in this.
You're going to do like a sort of fairy godmother thing where you kind of arrive, almost like float down from the sky and sort of hand over the, I don't know, D&D 6th edition, you know.
You turn a D20 into a carriage.
Yeah, exactly.
The D4s turn into to horses.
I can see it already.
it really does seem like in the last year there have been just a flood of new black faces into the scene. Now, it may be simply because I've become more involved, but even in the big shows, Dimension 20, for example, having Orion Black take over as creative director, Abria has been a DM. Now they have Gabe as a DM. It seems they're really diversifying. It seems like there are faces that have been around for quite a while, really becoming more prominent in the scene, which has been extremely gratifying as a black person who is in the scene myself. Mm.
I'm sorry, it's just really hard to take you seriously.
Fair enough. It is. Fair enough. I shall set it aside.
Should we pivot to American accents? Should we do that, Gloss?
Can we do American accents for this? That would be
I can only do Valley Girl. I'm really sorry.
Yeah, and
I
have that's
to
fine.
Valley Girl is fine. I have to flick my hair while doing it because it's the only way to make it come out. No, I don't think I want to.
That's absolutely fine.
That is, you know what? Like, that is unbelievably valid. Unbelievably valid.
But like your process of looking around the scene and seeing that there weren't any black streamers, black especially TTRPG streamers at the time, is very similar to what happened when we started Three Black Halflings, because Jasper looked first and then I checked after and was like, oh dang, yeah, you're right. No black D&D shows that we could find on YouTube as of like 18 months ago.
Yeah, I think for us, it was. I like your cliques analogy, because I feel like when we started like a year ago, I feel like we were like six cliques away. You know what I mean? Mm. So like, but like maybe after five, you just kind of gave up because you were like, man, like really, is it this hard to find? Whereas two feels like reasonable. You know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like that's reasonable. And I think it's about like the occupying all the same spaces. You know, like I think that like. For me, like when I think back on this show and any success that we've had, I'm like, because there wasn't a black talk show. Do you know what I mean? I think there was other black people in this space DMing and playing and black kind of groups coming together for playing and actual play and stuff. But like the talking kind of side of it, like a kind of talking heads version, that kind of it didn't seem like that existed at the time. And I think I think it's so rewarding for us that we have felt supported in the space. Do you know what I mean? And we felt like we were able to grow and we were able to take up that space. And even though we kind of didn't know what we were doing at the beginning and our audio was terrible and, you know, like we didn't really know what, like, we didn't know how to podcast. Do you know what I mean? Some might argue we still don't. But, like, at least people were kind of willing to come along on that journey with us. And I was wondering whether you felt anything similar, or like how was it when you started? Like, were people forgiving of those kinds of things, or was it more like, hey, you're like the only one, so be good? Because that also is like a counter side. No, that does tend to
I had
happen.
The counter side. It was really rough. I mean, it's the reason why I'm having the big break that I'm having right now. Mm. It was really, really rough. But luckily, because of my background in marketing, because, you know, I know how to make animations, because I knew how to stream, because I streamed for 505 Games, I could come out and my production be on point. Mm. And that was the thing that people noticed straight away, was like, wow, the production of this is great. But it was unsustainable because it was one person, you know, and, you know, trying to ramp up so we had multiple shows so that we could compete with, you know, at the time the biggest channel was Encounter Roleplay, so that we could grow and be like Encounter Roleplay, where we could actually pay our cast and you know, pay our mm-hmm. way and pay for art. Everything came out of my pocket at that time as well. I think I ended up sinking like £7,000 worth of my savings in this brief time that I streamed, you know, paying for artwork, paying for equipment. Like, I have all the equipment. Mm. I've got sound mixers. I've got four screens. I've got the stand. I have an amazing PC. You know, I even upgraded my audio, you know, some of the cast members as well. But, like, you can go to my early shows and, like, see, like, the cameras are fuzzy. You know, I was using a headset but then. So, like, the journey is important as well. But it was rough. Mm. And there was this pressure to come out perfect.
I mean, don't get wrong. I want to make that very clear. That's part of that, and elements of that still exist. There are people who are bigger than us in this space. Definitely felt. I think definitely feel the same thing.
That seems to have been a. I'm actually not sure if we've talked about it as much on here, but I think for a lot, most creators of color, especially I've noticed Black people, even as far back, I don't know if you listen to like Sly and the Family Stone, but their very first album has a song on it, which is like, I think 1968 is when that came out, which is specifically about how Black people, every time they go into a public space, are constantly the underdog and are having to be twice as good in order to get half as far. And there's so much. If you look at how many like white streamers, especially white male streamers, will just start out with like very almost no knowledge. It's just like, yeah, I'm just turning a camera on. I just got like a regular old webcam. Don't have all the cool setup and just talk and do whatever. And people are just like, eh. But you come in as a Black person and suddenly there is so much pressure, even though you have way more knowledge than I guess access to equipment as well than most of the people that you would be competing against.
Yeah, I think there's like an expectation of like having to prove something. I think that's like, I think it's like a subconscious thing for a lot of people who are judging. But like, there is this like expectation of like, oh, you're not the normal people who interact with this kinds of thing. So therefore, I need you to prove that you know what you're talking about, as opposed to just taking it as rote that you know because you're, you know, X, Y, and Z. And I'm sure that there are like things in that respect that like Black people would be judgy for. But it's just like, because the white people own so much of the mainstream media, and do you know what I mean? It is so much more prevalent. Do you know what I mean? I'm pretty sure that if you were in a majority Black space as a white person and just rolled up with a webcam and was like, hey, I'm going to talk about jazz music, I think, you know, I guarantee there'd be a lot of Black people like, prove it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where maybe, I don't know, like we might get a slightly easier time, like potentially. I don't know if that's like, I don't know if that's a fact or not, but.
Yeah, not as much with jazz anymore.
Well, it's maybe been not kind with of jazz. Yeah, jazz was a bad example because I think
but
jazz
I know what you mean, hip hop,
yeah,
maybe. I think hip hop,
yes,
could probably.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
I mean, it's exactly the same in the game dev space. Because as I said, I was a game dev and it was the same thing because I didn't have the look, you know, the quirky, nerdy girl look. I, you know, my hair is always in a nice, bouncy curl.
It looks incredible, by the way. The hair, I wish, like, I feel like we need to take some screenshot or something because the hair is just, it's too good.
I'm out here looking. It's so cool.
Like, I've just come back out from work and you can tell. Whereas Gloss right now, you look like, it looks like fire. It's quite incredible. Mm-hmm. Like,
I mean, that was the point. That was the point.
That
I mean,
was the, okay,
this
that was
is my
That's
favorite.
Really cool.
This is my favorite. But yeah, it was the same. I didn't have that nerdy girl, quirky nerdy girl look. And being in the game dev space, where either everyone wore like tracksuit bottoms and a gamer t-shirt, which she said player one, and then be like Super Mario on it or something like that. And then like their desks would be covered in like game memorabilia, or you would like the quirky, or you like the quirky nerdy girl with like the thick eyeliner and the multicolored hair. Mm-hmm. You know, I was there and I would be turning up in a pantsuit.
Yes.
You were there ready to do business.
To do business. I was a community manager.
I'm here to run this place.
That's awesome.
So you know, it was the same thing, you know, having to work three times as hard to prove that I belonged, and the imposter syndrome that comes with.
I,
with your face
that's
not
still
fitting.
Real, right? Like I don't know when that goes away. Maybe when you're like Dwayne The Rock Johnson or something. Maybe I think
that's why he works out so hard.
Maybe he's still like
I bet he has swole,
then you know.
Yeah.
Nearly made me do a spit take. That was
like, but actually I think there's something to that where imposter when it comes to working out. This example will make sense. When it comes to working out, it's a really, really common phenomenon, especially, I know it's at least among men who get into trying to weightlift and getting bigger and stronger, that initially they're really excited about the gains that they see. But the more that they learn and the more they pay attention to it, the more they start to see flaws. And it starts to turn from like, wow, look at these awesome gains that I've made, to, oh man, I'm actually small. Like, look at my tries. They could be bigger. My buys could be a little bit bigger. Like I could, you know, and you start to become really, really critical and think like, oh no. And you start having to work even harder. Mm. And I think the same is true with anything that you start doing more and more and more. You start to sometimes see flaws that really don't even translate to the actual people who are listening to it, like to the actual audience. But you're like, oh no, I'm not nearly as good. And then like it becomes like it's I guess the equivalent of body dysmorphia that you get with bodybuilders. You get the same thing with this, with like all other industries. And I think it absolutely exists in our field where it's like, oh, I'm trying to produce the best possible show. But then you're like, oh no, there were slight audio imperfections in this particular episode. Yeah, or I stumbled over and there was an edit, or, you know, or we're not getting the exact numbers that we're looking for, or this could have been a longer,
oh God,
like
that's
the,
so true.
Yeah. And it becomes so, instead of just being like, wow, look at where we've come in comparison to where we were and how much better the show sounds and people are loving and audience response has been great. Now it's like, no, the metrics aren't strong enough. Why don't we have?
Oh my God. You've literally quoted me. That's
beautiful. We only managed like double our listenership last month. How? Yes. Like, well, how have we failed?
It's we need 150% growth. Why are we only at 135?
Yeah.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
I had the exact same experience when after I did the DMing on NADPOD, I then listened to, like, I don't know, it was like, I think it might have even been like the Critical Role campaign, like season for the first episode or something like that. I listened to someone else DMing, or it might have even been like you and Outlaws and Obelisk or something, and I remember just being like, man, maybe that was really shit. Like, maybe what I did was bad. Like, and it was because it is exactly that thing of like the longer you have to like sit with something and mull over it and whatever, like you're always going to want to. Or I think there's like a, it's like almost like a natural protection, right? Especially if you know the predisposition of certain people who listen is going to be to find fault with it where there potentially isn't fault, right? Because that happens as people of color. We've spoken about this before that, you know, in what we've just said, like, you know, the amount of people that will come at you for stuff that's, there's no business. There's no need for them to come for you.
And as a femme presenting person, I imagine it's even worse. Considering like listening to NADPOD, I know that Emily Axford just gets ripped on by elements of their audience or even for Dimension 20.
I mean, I've had blogs written about me and things that I've said on Twitter about how I game my games. I got accused of railroading my players because I told them what was going to happen.
I think like here's a genuine question though. When someone's going to the effort to write like a whole blog post,
I was really flattered.
That's
actually
what I mean. Like, is there a part of you that's not just a bit like, wow, I'm living in your head rent free? Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know you. You like, you do not know me. Like, and yet still you feel the need to do this.
Yeah, I mean, my skin is thicker than most because I was a community manager for a free-to-play game. You know, people told me to go drink bleach and get cancer on a regular basis. Like,
yeah,
you laugh. So when it came to being in the space, and I guess I carry myself with a sense of imperviousness, and I guess that intimidates people. I'm not intimidating, they are intimidated.
Yes.
And so I haven't had many people come for me. And if they do, I just block them because I'm just like,
okay, yeah.
Enjoy having me live rent-free in your head. If you would like to live in my head, I charge per the hour. So here are my rates.
Yeah. And it ain't cheap, let me tell you. Yeah. It ain't cheap. That's prime real estate. So...
My skin is thicker than most. I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, I have my moments. Actually, shall I make a confession?
Please do.
Please.
The moments before you messaged me, I was sitting on the timeline scrolling through and I was having a sad moment. I was like, I wish someone would invite me to something because it's been a while. I feel like people don't remember what I do or who I am or anything like that. I wish I could be part of something again. That would be really nice. And then and I was like, oh god, so, woe is me, very sad, boohoo. And then he messaged and I was like,
Yes, literally
the universe.
I'm drawing from that power. Like, yeah,
the universe like literally told me to take a seat. Take a seat. Be quiet. What are you crying about?
Here you go. The universe came up, put a blanket around you and went, hey, come on. Sit down at the table. You're welcome. Come on. Like,
so, you know, like normal people, I have my off days. There are days that, you know, I rethink all my life choices. Because I come from a marketing background, that's what I got my degree in, I have to have a plan. I have to execute the plan. I then have to get to the metrics of my plan. I then need to analyze my metrics and then make a new plan based on what I want in the future. And it has to be both achievable, but also out there. And, you know, sometimes I just don't have the energy to do it anymore. And I'm just like, what am I doing with myself? Why am I here? What is life? I'm going to go back to the office.
It's super important to acknowledge those days, though, I think. I think it's super important to be, like, honest with yourself when you're having one of those days, because I think if you don't acknowledge it, and I don't know if you, either of you can feel the same, but, like, I feel like I can get myself into, like, a really destructive, like, headspace where I start, like, it's like where that's when the imposter syndrome gets real loud. Do you know what I mean? And I start really being like, why am I doing this? Like, what's the point? What's it all for? You know what I mean? You can get into that like negative spiral. Whereas I find that when I acknowledge it and I go, yo, today is not the one, I'm gonna take a me day. You know what I mean? I'm gonna do something. I'm just gonna distract myself. Like whatever it is that is causing it, I'm like, I need to just distance myself, because then tomorrow I'll come back and I'll be able to go at that thing guns blazing, or you know, whenever, you know, when I'm feeling sort of better, I'll be able to come at it guns blazing. But I won't be able to do that if I've kind of sabotaged myself a little bit in some way.
Yes, 100%.
You know,
do either of you get it where you're like irrationally critical, where you you will be looking at something thinking, wow, we're doing so well, but then also there's like another you sitting there being like, well, actually, and like both
if you compare yourself to Critical Role,
yeah, you know, and actually I mean? You could have done this and this and this and this and this just a little bit better. And actually, if we add up all those flaws, you're actually doing pretty bad. And it's just like, oh no. And then the other one's like, but also look. And then it's like, I don't know. Yeah,
this is a peek behind the screen. But to go back to the aforementioned NADPOD DM thing, this one I remember. Remember a couple months after it happened, it probably wasn't even that long ago, just having one of them days, I didn't realize I was in that destructive pattern, and I just found myself just, I'll just have a look at the comments.
Oh no.
And I wasn't, and the thing is, I wasn't in like a good day where I was feeling like, you know what I mean? Like I did this. It was like one of those days where I was like, and I was just scrolling and it
seeking
really
evidence to prove the little voice.
Yes. And I sat there and it was like I was feeding this kind of gluttonous monster in the corner of my brain. You know what I mean? It was like that when Homer, I don't know if it's in the Simpsons episode where he goes to hell and has been fed donuts. Like that was like, you know what I mean? That was me and my brain just feeding this part of myself. And then it's what's weird is it like fully tarnishes that thing for you, right? Like it fully makes that thing in your head. Like when you think about it, then you instantly want to relate it to that negative side.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and then on Discord, literally like, I think it was like a few days ago, someone was like, hey, I found this because of the NADPOD one shot that Jasper did. Like he absolutely crushed it and did like a really long thing about how much they enjoyed the voices and the NPCs and the world building. And I was just like, it's like such a roller coaster, I feel like, especially when you're having to put your own creativity out there and put your own, you know, because these are all things that we're choosing to make. It's not like, I feel like it was easier when I was an actor. If like someone didn't like my performance, I'm like, meh, well, the director told me to do that.
I got paid.
And you know what I mean?
Also, it's cast in the part. And like, there's so many steps you have to take to validate yourself.
And like to remove your own, to remove yourself. Whereas stuff like that is just like fully like, hey, this is like a little bit of me that I put out there and I dangle out there. And I think, to go kind of bring it back full circle, Gloss, and I wonder if you almost have any advice that you would give. Like that's the thing that I would say to any sort of young Gloss or a young Jasper or whatever who wants to get into this, is like, be ready that like in this industry, in this like world, in this create, like when you're putting yourself out there as a creative and you're putting your name on things, or like your company name or your chosen name, like it can get real uncomfortable, you know what I mean? And you kind of have to, it kind of comes with the territory, but like it's good to ready yourself, because I definitely don't think I was ready on some element in some aspect, because I was so used to it as an actor, which is so much more removed than this.
Yeah, I think it's because as well, you know, when we think about content creators, we think about YouTubers and Instagrammers and TikTokers now. They only ever show the good, and no one ever talks about the bad. So, you know, you see all these people living in their mansions, you know, getting all the signups. You don't see the hard work that goes into those signups. The sad days sitting alone in your room, wondering if you would ever get any signups or any products or any sponsorships. You don't see that, any of that, unless you are doing it. And it's why all content creators have therapy, I swear. Because when you are an artist, you know, no matter what your medium, what you want to give to the world is always, you want it to be greater than yourself. And it's a really vulnerable position to put upon yourself, especially if you, you know, are a little sensitive or not very thick skinned or not experienced that before. It you know, it can be a really, really big blow. I mean, as I said, I'm on a semi break. I haven't streamed or done any D&D for well over a year. because I did, I took a very hard hit and I had to, you know, before I traumatize myself.
You have to protect yourself.
I'm never doing this again.
And
I hate D&D.
Ruin the thing that you love, right? Yeah. Like really ruin it for yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Take a step back, you know, go do something that you enjoy. You know, because it will always be waiting there. And, you know, as I said, I haven't streamed in over a year. And look, I am here being interviewed about what I did over a year ago. So, you know, no one's going to forget you. Your work is still there. You know, you're not going to miss out. You're not going to lose anything by taking time for you. And I think that's one thing, is the fear of missing out as well.
Oh, man, I still, you know, I'm still living in the day-to-day of, like, we have to put out an episode every week. If we skip 1 week of Three Black Halflings, every single listener will leave.
The ship falls apart. A single missed week and a show crumbles.
Yeah. All of our audience goes over to rival shows.
No, that won't happen. I promise you.
Like, what's funny is, like, I love the other shows.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, rival isn't even a fair term.
Like, there are no rival shows. Well, maybe Critical Role. I mean, we can... I want to get there.
We start building heat for a conflict with Critical Role. Yeah. We're calling you out, Mercer. We're calling you out.
I mean, we're never going to have that Amazon money, so you know.
There you go. Actually, this reminds me. I don't know if our newspaper. Like, I've lived here for years. Are newspaper comics big over here?
I think they have been. Okay. I don't think they are now.
I don't know if Calvin and Hobbes made it over here, but Calvin and Hobbes is a really, really popular American newspaper comic strip. Hugely popular and massively acclaimed. And the writer of that actually took a sabbatical like 10 years in.
Calvin and Hobbes. Yeah, I've definitely seen
Calvin
this
and Hobbes.
Sorry,
it's a little boy and his stuffed tiger.
That comes to life.
With a
red tractory thing.
It's really, really good. And the creator just straight up stopped doing it because he was like, this is getting too stressful. I don't think people pay as much attention to it, but Calvin and Hobbes was really experimental. And so he kept having like a lot of conflicts with the newspapers and people that were like overseeing him trying to be like, oh, I'm just trying to do different things with the format. And they're like, no, even though he's one of the most popular strips in the United States. And so he ended up just taking a break because it got to the point of like, this is affecting my enjoyment of this thing that I love. And I just got to take a break for my own health. And he did. He walked away from the show for like, I think 2 years, and then came back, did it for a few more years, and then went out on top. And like he reached the point where he's like, cool, I've said everything I want to say with this strip. I'm going to leave. And people are like, wait, but no, like, because it was so popular. But I think it's very important that people need to recognize if you don't. And actually, I know a person that I know, I think, just got their PhD. After like years of work, and then had a complete like physical health breakdown, and they made a post about it on Facebook. If you do not take care of your health, both physical and mental, it will take care of you. It's a matter of when you're going to take the break and what are the circumstances.
I always think of it as a bit like it's a bit like money, right? Like it's like if you're in debt, like to yourself, if you're in debt mentally, if you're in debt physically. Do you know what I mean? It's always easier to pay that debt off in smaller chunks than when the bailiff comes round.
The loan shark starts breaking kneecaps.
Exactly. When you just step off of the pavement or something, or the sidewalk, and it like completely busts your ankle, and you're like, "What? How have I become this frail? Oh, I haven't done any exercise for like 3 years."
I am totally stealing that saying. That's amazing.
Goss, would you agree though that there's a certain level of artifice that's needed? Since it's a performative medium, you usually want a little element of like performativity in conjunction with like the realness, where it's like, oh, well, like a hello halflings, like, oh, I'm introducing a catchphrase and people can go like, hey, as opposed to being like, hey guys, this is Three Black Halflings.
Yeah, because we're not white, right? Like, this is what we meant earlier. We can't just be like chill and normal. We gotta do something.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've spoken about this before on other interviews I've been in, but when you stream, when you do a podcast, and when you play at a table, it's three different games. Because with a podcast, They can't see you. All they have is your voice.
Mm.
In a stream, they can see you, but they can only see you from, like, you know, collarbone up in my case. I'm short, okay?
I love the way that, like, in your head there, you're like, I'm not going to reframe this. Where the camera is where it is. You're getting my chin upwards, I'm sure. Yeah. There's nothing I can do.
No, there's nothing I can do. I could point it down, but then, you know, it'll just be all the cleavage. And then I'll get accused of, like, doing a whole other type of show.
It's a whole different stream at that point.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're playing at the table, or you're playing offline in my case because of lockdown. Playing offline is so more relaxed. I'm working on a podcast right now, which is called Black AF and Noble. It's a all-black POC noble game because, you know, we want to get on the noble bullshit intrigue palace dramas too.
Hell yeah.
But,
yeah.
Even then, that is completely different from streaming because, you know, we can go, okay, pause. I need to go answer the door. Actually, I don't like where this is going. Hang on a second, everyone on hit. Stop. We're going to talk about this. When you're streaming, it's live. It's in the moment. It's there. And I've had very horrific things happen in streamed games where I've just had to smile.
Oh, no.
And laugh. But inside, I'm like, well, you can actually kind of see on some of them, I'm like physically shaking.
Mm.
Where I'm either angry or I'm sad or something, you know, really horrific things.
Mm.
And you know the audience is there, so you just smile because you don't want to upset everything. And people talk about safety tools, but, you know, in a stream game, those safety tools are very inaccessible.
Yes.
In the moment, in the heat of things. And it's only afterwards, you know, hopefully you do aftercare and, you know, take care of yourself so you can talk about them.
Mm.
And so, yes, there's a performance. Depending on your audience, depending on your medium, of course there's a performance. Obviously, people telling people to smash that subscribe, snowballers, and all that nonsense. You know, there is a format on YouTube that you have to do to appeal to the YouTube algorithm. You know, imagine trying to do a TTRPG that's 10 minutes. In 10-minute episode chunks. Could you imagine?
Hey, now Gloss, now there
is an idea.
No, put it 10 minutes on. We could crank out and it wouldn't take.
You just record for two hours.
Two hours, and we've got the whole season.
10-minute chunks.
We got the whole damn season. Okay.
I'll take my royalties.
Yeah. Always putting that backstop in.
Fair. I'll take royalties for the idea, but you can have that one. but yeah, so, you know, there is a little bit of a performance depending on your medium. No one can see you if you're a podcast. Mm. If you're a stream, you can't hit pause. You know, when you're offline, anything goes. So have all the fun and the wacky shenanigans. And
I think as well, yeah, it's like there is a level of, I think there's a level of artifice which serves the medium. Do you know what I mean? I think, like you were saying, to hit that YouTube algorithm or whatever it is. But I think for, you know, if I was doing a podcast about, like, a true crime podcast, or if I was doing a podcast about self-help, or if I was doing a podcast, do you know what I mean? Like, I think I'd be, it would be a different demeanor, there would be a different approach, just because you have to pick what is appropriate for the medium that you're in. And I think that for, like, you know, this and what we're in is, like, I mean, luckily, what we did, and I think this is where we kind of got a bit lucky with Three Black Halflings, is that, like, it fits us as people. You know, this show fits us, so it's very close. Like, the artifice is very close to just us. You know what I mean? Like, I can tell you that we had a weekend where we all got together and when we recorded the first ever episode of The Cub and the Caterpillar, I can tell you as soon as those mics were off, there was very little difference between, like, do you know what I mean? Like, part of me now is still gutted that I didn't just mic that whole room up and was just like, this is going to be gold for days. Do you know what I mean? Because it didn't change.
Without telling us, of course. Which is
absolutely. That's the BTS, man. That's how you get the good BTS.
Yeah.
Like, I think it is very interesting having to... And I'm kind of excited because, like, you know, I've been thinking about, oh, I wonder if I would do another podcast or what I would talk about and what I would do. And it would be interesting to see how that might change for me. Do you know what I mean? How, like, the, you know, I might approach approaching this same thing where it's just me and like a mic, but with less of a, you know, where I go in a slightly different direction in terms of my, you know, expression and things like that. So, yeah, that is very, very interesting. We should, before we wrap up, we have to do something very, very important, Gloss. Which is, for all of our guests, we ask for one thing and one thing only. That is a tale from the table. It can be anything. It can be anything truly wild, top shelf, bonkers, whatever you want it to be. It could be heartfelt.
Yeah. Thematically relevant, if you have anything.
I'm sorry, what is the assignment?
Basically,
the assignment is whatever you want it to be.
It's a story from one of the TTRPG experiences, the myriad TTRPG experiences that you've had, something that jumps out to you as a particularly notable story, either because it's really heartwarming, because it's funny, etc. Sounds like you got it, though.
Yeah.
No, yeah, there's a story that I like telling. And I'm going to tell. I don't think I've actually told it in an interview yet.
Ooh.
I'm going to.
We got that exclusive.
Yeah.
I'm going to title it The Day I Discovered I Was a Min-Maxer.
I have had this day too.
Yes.
So exciting.
So I'm playing Waterdeep Dragon Heist. I'm playing a drow, Sorcadin, or Paladork, depending on how you want to do it, of Illustrae. And I come up against one of the villains in the game. And it very exclusively says in the book, your party at fifth level can take on these villains together, but it will be a very challenging encounter. So we're actually chasing after one of the other party members who's doing a little bit of like espionage escape, trying to wrap everything up. And we're trying to, you know, don't do it alone. We'll help you. Power of friendship. And one of the Castle Hunters turns up, Lord Castle Hunter turns up. And I tell the party, I'm also riding my giant lizard in my nightdress in the rain because there was no time to put my armor on because it takes 10 minutes.
Oh, no.
You were in that kind of campaign. I see. It wasn't like hey, my armor happens to be set up in the corner and I Iron Man. Whoop.
I sleep in my armor.
Yeah.
No. Unfortunately not. No. She wasn't a sleep in armor type. She was a proper lady. And so I tell the party, go on without me. I'll slow him down. I was expecting to die.
Okay.
And to summarize this story, I will just say sex is good, but have you ever defeated Casalanta as a level 4 Sorcadin wearing nothing but your nightie?
Whoa.
That is
wow. Was it,
because
what was the reaction?
Was it close?
Of the party?
Yeah, was it a close fight? Like, how close was it?
I think I was down to 11 HP. I was like, lay on hands. Every spell slot was a smite.
Mm-hmm.
We also did paid, we called them listeners. And basically if you gave us bits and chose a listener, that person would be gifted and they did different things. And there was one that would give an automatic crit.
Oh, for a paladin. Whoa. That's insane.
That's
so powerful.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So I was burning through every high level, because, you know, as a Sorcadin, you get more spell slots. Because as a paladin, you're only half caster, but then you add a full caster and you get more spell slots. It's amazing. So I had more smites than I should have. And I was burning through them and the chat was throwing money at me.
Amazing.
This is so high.
And I was auto-critting, doing all this damage. My lizard was doing all the damage because, you know, if you're sitting on your lizard, the lizard also does the damage that you do. So she was biting. Her name was Angaste. She was biting. I was smiting. Her bite would be smited, but it was an auto-crit, so double damage everywhere.
Wow.
It was the most math I ever did. I actually died in that episode. Because along came Manchun. And then use power word kill on me, and I had like 11 hit points left.
What?
Oh.
And I was just like, I tried to like, so I like got, because I was trying to defend the body of like one of my companions. I like put it on my riding lizard. I slapped her butt. I sent her riding off. I was there doing a last stand. I knew I didn't have this fight. I was out of spell slots. I was out of like
everything.
And I was just like, I'm doing something stupid and paladin-y, but it's amazing.
That is very paladin-y.
This is the most dramatic thing. Like, this is so
like,
cool.
Absolutely beasting like a BBEG and then throwing yourself on the sword for your comrade. That is like incredibly paladin-y.
Yeah.
And then Howl Word killed me.
Wow.
And obviously, when you lose consciousness or die, your lizard, your
fine.
Horse,
was it a fine steed?
Yes, it was fine. Yeah, Steve. Fine Steve disappears.
So sad.
And so my friend fell off and rolled in the street, and then they were captured by Manchu. It was a very good episode, very stressful.
Whoa.
But
that was no doubt. Wow.
But that was the day I discovered I was a min-maxer because I should not have been able to kill that Casablanca.
That's amazing.
It's a hard thing to kick. I think I've finally kicked it. I think I've recently gotten to a point where I'm like, I kind of like having flaws. You know, I'm finally ready to have flaws again as a player. But like, I've been riding the train of like, how broken can I make my characters for a while now?
I can't bring myself to give myself bad stats in the specific areas that the character needs. Like, I couldn't be a fighter with horrible physical stats.
Yeah, like
I couldn't do that. Yet.
I couldn't do that.
I have a couple like really low intelligence or really low charisma or really low this or that. I can do that, but I'm like, the other stuff, I'm like, nah, man, I need my stats, man. I need my stats, man. Please.
That was genuinely like, I guested on a show with Jeremy the other day, and my character was like, had -3, -1s in like 3 different categories.
Ouch.
And then, but like +3 or +4 in the other 3. So it was still, it was actually really the definition of min-maxing, to be quite honest. But I rolled so bad on my stats. It was like, it was literally like 16, 6. So like 15, 8. I was like, come on.
I've actually never rolled a bad statted character.
Whoa.
I am blessed by the RNG gods. I roll really high and I've changed dice. I make people watch my rolls because, you know, I don't ever want to be accused of, you know, of rolling bad.
Yeah.
You know, I think I even played Call of Cthulhu and I rolled 200% in the same game and someone worked out that that had a 1 in 10,000 chance of happening.
Wow.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, but it's just what
I do. What
and that was on roll 20 of all places.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
So digital dice.
So it wasn't even like,
and they make everybody can verify. So there's no possibility of fudging. That's amazing.
Wow. Yeah. I do think, though, that you've set a precedent now. Like, if you ever come to play with us, you know that you're going to roll bad stats. Like, because you prefaced this now, like, exactly. Knock on that wood. Because you have prefaced this now, like, you know that whatever you roll will be hot garbage. So,
I guess then I'm playing hot garbage.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But it'll be hot, so that's the main thing.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. I love a trash fire.
Yeah. amazing. What a pleasure Sorry, Gloss just disappeared for a second there.
Your computer is bigger than you are. Your monitor is so large.
Yeah, that was either that or it was just a false perspective of
I mean, you know what? Here we go. We'll have a little tour. So there's my microphone. Ignore that. There's a screen.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
There's another screen up there.
That is like a TV. That's us.
Hey.
Look at that setup.
We can fit Zoom and...
Whoa, you weren't kidding. You have all the gear.
You have all the gadgets. I'm very jealous. I feel...
I mean, the hint is in my name.
It's true.
Oh, yeah, I literally get to say you have all the gadgets. Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. And speaking of amazing, that was so great to get to talk to you. And please inform the halflings where they can find more of your stuff. If you indeed want them to find you. If you're still happy just... sitting back, then you don't have to. You can plug whatever you want.
Hello, halflings. Yes, my name is Gloss and Gadgets. You can find me on the interwebs as Gloss and Gadgets everywhere. And when I'm not doing random interviews because I feel sad.
That is the only reason that she did it, by the way. Just to clarify, that was the only reason that
Also, because it's the three halflings, like, come on. Like, you know, I did my stint with Motherlands and now I'm here. Like, I'm just...
just doing the rounds.
Roll 20 with Orion soon. That's my...
That's the next one, yeah.
Yeah, that's the goal. But yes, when you can't find me on the internet, which is pretty much impossible because I work at home and so I live on the internet. I make theatrical jewellery and headpieces and gear because I like dressing up for streams. And I was like, I'm poor, so I'm going to make it myself. So yes, if you've ever seen the Tree Star keyring, I am the creator of that. So you can come get a Tree Star from me. And soon, I promise you very soon, I will have a podcast of my very own, which is called Black AF and Noble. And it's going to be a intrigue palace drama with all PLC. And it's going to be amazing because we've really gone out there with it.
Oh, this sounds so cool.
That is so cool. I want to, I know that this is, is this streaming or is this going to be podcasting?
This is going to be a podcast.
This is going to be a podcast. I want you to imagine that I am pulling up a seat in the front row of this podcast auditorium because that sounds cool AF and I'm very excited for it.
I snuck in backstage and I'm just looking on from the sides through the curtain just like, whoa.
Yeah. Whoa.
Well, we are hoping that once we get going, we can have guests slots where people can come in and live the POC noble fantasies because, you know, we can play kings, dukes, emperors and empresses.
I want to be like a nasty little prince, you know what I mean? I want to be like a real petulant little Joffrey that everyone's just like, ah, oh, God.
Joffrey,
like,
William Cartwright.
Yeah. That is exactly what I want. That's a concern that Joffrey William Cartwright doesn't actually sound like an illegitimate name. May change my name.
You have an evil twin named Joffrey William Cartwright.
Yeah. Oh, man. How did you know? Oh, dear. Okay, I'm going to have to go put Joffrey back downstairs. I'll be back in 2 seconds, guys. He's out again. And if he stays out for too long, then the world implodes. So. But thank you so much for joining us. And I think we can kind of tease this now. We can say, which is very exciting, that Gloss has agreed to run a little a TTRPG for us, which I am very excited, called The Quiet Year. And that'll be coming out either next week or within a few weeks of this one. Who knows what happens with scheduling and all kinds of weird things can happen. So, but make sure you keep an eye out for that upcoming episode because I'm very excited to do that.
Yay.
Thanks so much. If you want to find out more about Three Black Halflings as if one of your first episodes, then you can find us everywhere at TB Halflings, including on the Patreon at TB Halflings, where you get more bonus content in your life. Plus, we do merch. It's very, very cool. Go check it out. Go buy it.
Oh, and follow us on Twitter, because both of us are on Twitter now.
Oh, yeah, we are. Oh, we could plug our Twitters.
That's true, we can.
Whoa, I've never plugged mine before because
I'm
always feel
to follow
bad.
Right now. What are they?
So you can follow me at JW_Cartwright. Yo.
And you can follow me at JeremyCobb1. It's Cobb with two Bs. I made this thing 10 years ago. That's how I got JeremyCobb1.
Jeremy locks down his name on Jeremy every Cobb. New platform that comes out.
Vine, look, I found you TikTok, both straight away.
Snapchat. Yeah. Jeremy's got it all and never used it. But he's got Jeremy Cobb.
Only fans. All of them.
All of them.
That I've never used.
Ever. Thank goodness.
Yeah, let's wrap that up. I don't want people to find my OnlyFans.
I don't want them to find it either. I hope that you've enjoyed this week's episode. Thank you so much to Gloss and Giadich for joining us. And we will see you next week. So long, Shire folk.
So long,
Shire
folk.
Waving noises.
We always wave for no reason. It is about that time. You know what time it is to thank some of our incredible patrons who have signed up to the Patreon recently. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. It really does help us do so many incredible things on the show, and we wouldn't be able to do it without your support. If you maybe like the idea of signing up to Patreon and getting bonus episodes, bonus content, all kinds of stuff, live streams, you know it, it's there, then head over to patreon.com/TB Halflings. But Without further ado, let's give out some Shire Folk thanks. I would like to thank T. Vygotsky, Myrina Dyer, Katrin, Kyle Spillman, Janius Corbulo. Very cool. Corbulo? Maybe it's Corbulo. Very sweet. Love that name. Andrew S. Joe Taylor. Brooke Siegel. Jacob Kapan. Steve. Just Steve. Chris Rizipa. I hope I got that one right. I struggle wrong as always. Orion Johns. Ayana Patris Brown. Noza Guy. That's a cool one. I like Noza Guy. Ben. Harriet Small. Andrea Eagleman. Nathaniel Rogers. Edraconis Lupus. So sick. Chris Harper. Robert Guilford. Summer Zachary. Stephen Hill. David Conn. And Miller Wren. Thank you so much for signing up to the Patreon. We love you very, very much.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.